Global South Pole, a program presented to you by Sputnik Africa. Welcome to Global South Pole, where we shed light on the intersection of global politics and the aspirations of the Global South. My name is Aliyu Bello and I'm your host on Global South Pole. In today's edition, we will focus on Vladimir Putin's victory in the presidential election in Russia. Before we move further to our discussion for today's news, Russia has delivered 25,000 tons of grain to Zimbabwe free of charge. Recall that Vladimir Putin, during the second Russia-Africa summit, announced free grain supplies to a number of African countries, including Zimbabwe. And Moscow continues to fulfill its promises. Additionally, Russian fertilizer producer Uralchem Group has delivered 23,000 tons of mineral fertilizers to Harare. South Africa's top diplomat, Naledi Pandor, has accused Israel of setting a precedent for leaders to defy the top UN court, as she again alleged a campaign of starvation in Gaza. This comes after, in January, the International Court of Justice ruled that Israel should take action to prevent acts of genocide as it fights Hamas in the Gaza Strip. France is considering a joint use of its military bases in Africa with its allies, including the United States. This comes as France's military presence in Africa has been weakening. Countries like Niger and Burkina Faso denounced military agreements with Paris and demanded withdrawal of its military personnel. This move has been supported by the local populations. The French chief of defense staff was quoted saying, "Merging bases with American or other allies is desirable if we want to reduce our visibility while maintaining the necessary presence." Meanwhile, in Niger, the government has decided to terminate its military agreement with the United States, which allows US troops to remain on the territory of the African country. Niamey described the agreement as not only deeply unjust in its essence, but also not in line with the aspirations and interests of the people of Niger. In Zimbabwe, former liberation movements of Southern Africa gathered at Victoria Falls under the theme Unity, Collaboration and Defense of Liberation Against Neo-Colonialism to talk on various concerns such as combating imperialism and interference from Western powers. Among the participants of the meeting were secretary generals of the movements, including those of Zimbabwe's ZANU-PF, South Africa's African National Congress, the ANC, Botswana's Democratic Party, Mozambique's Frelimo, Tanzania's Chama cha Mapinduzi, Angola's People's Movement for the Liberation of Angola, and Namibia's Southwest African People's Organization. Attention listeners, if you are just joining us on Global South Pole, in today's episode we are talking about the Russian presidential election, which saw President Vladimir Putin securing a landslide victory with an overwhelming 87% of the votes. This election witnessed a remarkable record voter turnout of 77%, underscoring the significance of this democratic process for the Russian people. The election has been praised for its peaceful, transparent, and democratic conduct, reflecting Russia's commitment to upholding the principles of free and fair vote. Let us listen to what the president has to say in his victory speech.
An ordinary citizen of the country realized in his heart that he is in demand, that the country needs him, and that the future of Russia depends on him. This is the reason for the high turnout. People came to create conditions for internal consolidation, political consolidation, in order to move forward.
During the election, we interacted with voters and some of the international observers, and here is what they have to say about the process. I have with me Mr. Kevin Vladimirovich Johnson, a boxer who became a Russian citizen. Mr. Johnson named himself Vladimirovich due to the admiration he has for the Russian president, Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin, whom he described as his role model. And we spoke with observers from different African countries as well. Gentlemen, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Joseph Mgaya, all the way from Tanzania, East Africa, as a representative of CCM, Chama cha Mapinduzi, which is the ruling party in Tanzania. And I'm representing Ruvuma Region's Songea District as a member of general meeting.
My name is Dr. Petros Voldegeorgis, president of Bongai University, Ethiopia.
I'm Mr. John Likando, representative from National Council, Parliament of Namibia, here being one of the international observers to observe the presidential elections.
My question is to you, Mr. Joseph Mugaya. What is your impression of the process? How is the general process so far?
The voting process here is very interesting. People are free to come, are taking very, very small times, just 3 to 5 minutes you have done, in very open and freely. So to me, it's very nice, interested procedures, which I observe, and there is too many options of people to vote here electronically. People are voting through hard copies, and all procedure is very interesting to me.
Can you please describe the general atmosphere at the polling stations? Mr. Likando, can you please give us more insight on this?
Well, when we arrived in the morning, the turnout was seemingly to be very low, but it's rising, and I'm told Sunday it's always when the polling station are always full, but the second polling station I could see really the number was increasing, but they don't necessarily need to queue because of the system. The moment you present the passport, you sign, then you go straight to vote. So it doesn't keep people long queues. I think the Central Election Commission have really done a tremendous job.
Have you spotted any irregularities or possibly any violations?
No, so far, elections are so harmonized that I happened to get a group of observers who were sitting together, and they are really enjoying it because there is no sign of as if something's happening. It's just normal, unlike in other areas where there's violence, whatever. But here, it's just quiet, peaceful, and normal.
And Dr. Voldegeorgis, what is your opinion on this?
This is my third polling station to observe. Up to now, I didn't get any irregularities. Their parties are from different 4 groups. I have seen the observers, I have seen the representatives, so I didn't see any irregularities.
Mr. Kevin Vladimirovich Johnson, I want to ask about your voting process. How was your first time voting in a Russian presidential election?
It was just about 3 hours ago. So I'm still taking it in myself, you know? Like, wow. Like, what a privilege, what an honor, you know? And then once the election happened and you see who you vote for wins, that's the moment where it really, really, really counts.
Can you describe the atmosphere?
Are very different. You know, the news stations was there and some of the government staff was there. So it's a lot for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just a normal walk in and walk out. Everything is over the top. Like, it's 7 stars is the best. Everything's from the moment I touched down in Samara, everything was 15 stars. So how can you go past 7 stars? You got to come witness this. You know what I mean? It's not just a normal day. It's not a normal life. You're not around normal people. You know, I don't met every political figure. I don't been in places where I didn't even know existed on this earth. You know what I mean? So different strokes for different folks, man. Like I tell some people, come walk a day in my shoes. You'll feel and see and understand what it's like, man. It's just hard to explain. It's easy to show.
So, Mr. Mugaya, can you share with us why your delegation decided to come to Russia to observe this event?
First, to see how other side of the country, other friends' country, how they practice many elections, and how people are practicing democracy of voting who they want.
Mr. Likando, could you as well take us through why you decided to come and witness the event?
Yeah, first and foremost, we are here at the invitation of our counterpart, the National Council Federation of Russia, who have invited us as part of the exercise. As we are aware, we are also from parliament. This is a legislative arm. Secondly, it's a finding and learning curve. Russia is one of the biggest democracies in terms of size and population. So it's also a learning curve. What we have observed here, it will give us time to improve as we go back. Secondly, it's to certify physically on the ground how processes are going in bigger democracies like Russia, where the multi-party system is being practiced.
You pointed out the importance of being physically present. Can you please elaborate why it is important to witness the election?
As part of the Global Village, we have systems that are quite similar. Like indicated earlier that we also use the same process of electronic system, but this one is more advanced because it caters even for those who cannot reach polls, unlike ours that require a person to be physically at a polling station. But here you have systems that allow a person even to vote right away from online, manually, and also physically casting. So these are some of the learning curve that we have came across, and also the purpose of using one identity, and that is a passport, which carries the whole information. Unlike from our side where you need a voter's card, you need the ID. But here, a passport carries everything that needs to be verified.
So, Dr. Walde Georgis, can you give us your opinion on the technological innovations that are being used for the election process, including the online vote that you mentioned and other technologies used here?
Yes, I have seen a lot of indescribable gadgets. Some of the gadgets are even, to my experience, they were the first to me. I have seen that, and they took me to a telephone center, and they showed me that. It is the well-developed, and it is technology-assisted voting, I can say. So it is extremely surprising. I wish if that I have to my country, really.
Mr. Likando, what's your position concerning the voting online?
The system provides the flexibility and the comfort of someone. Those who are busy, they can vote. Those who cannot afford to go, it's all weather. You know, system that they put in place, whether you do it at home or you come physically. So it's a very inclusive system, and also it shows that the Central Election Commission did a very good, you know, study to ensure that it gives a high turnout of voters. Come physically or electronically, there will be high turnout in the end.
Mr. Johnson, I'll give you the final word. Russian citizens are allowed to vote through virtual ballot. Do you see what advantages it could be for the people to have this chance?
Oh, yeah. For some people who work doubles and double shifts, some people who work long hours, some people who really don't have the time to wait in line because of maybe a medical or a family member or a kid. A lot of times it's the kids. Kids have stuff to do, you know? So when you're able to do it virtually, come on, there's, you know, it supports young people to get out and vote. You know what I mean? Because a lot of young people have schedules. They do. And if you take a young person's schedule between the hours of 9 to 5, that's their busiest time of the day. But if they can just take 20 minutes out and do it virtually, or not even 20, 5 minutes out and do it virtually, that's everything, you know? Me, I like to go in person because I'm an old school guy. I like the old school feel. I like to walk into a building. I like to greet security, say hello. You might see a couple friends. I like to fill out paperwork physically. You know what I mean? I'm an old school guy. If I was able to do it by virtually, I still wouldn't have did it. I would have went because that's me. I'm old school.
I want to remind you that during the presidential election in Russia, we talked to African observers as well as boxer Vladimirovich Johnson, who recently became a Russian citizen. In this status, participated in the voting for the first time. Stay tuned to Global South Pole, brought to you by Sputnik Africa, as we explore the details of this historic election. And in the studio with me today is Dr. Godwin Ibe, the esteemed chairman of the Nigerians in diaspora Russia. We will discuss the implications of President Putin's re-election, the factors contributing to such overwhelming support and the broader implications for Russia and its relations with the global community. Dr. Ibe, thank you for being with us today. I'm going to start by asking you to tell our listeners about yourself and your overall assessment of the presidential election. So from the organization leading to the vote, to the election itself, and now after the election. So how do you assess that?
I think it was super smooth. It was not just good, but it was well organized. And people were able to express their voting rights. And it was clear that they gave their mandate to President Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin. There were many ways to vote, both physical presence at the voting station or the voting box, or electronically, digitally. It was so simple, just a few clicks of a button, just a few clicks of buttons, and you were able to express your vote. There were no glitches. There was nothing like server was down. There was nothing like you have to wait for a long time. It was so super smooth that if I remember correctly, and I think I'm right, Senegal expressed their desire to use Russia's experience and introduce an electronic voting system in the country's presidential election. This was according to Saliu Sambo, a representative of the Senegalese Human Rights Commission. So they were able to see it firsthand because they were an observer officially. And I think that people who, you know, who like the truth and who observed the election will tell you that it was really super smooth and it was really indicative of the feeling and mood in Russia.
With over 87% of the votes cast in favor of President Vladimir Putin and a record high voter turnout of about 77%, what factors do you believe contributed to such overwhelming support from the Russian electorate?
Of course, there are many factors that contributed to such an overwhelming support from the Russian electorate. The first one is the broad sanctions by the West and the attempts at regime change, the sinister attempts at regime change. Even going as far as in election interference through terrorist attacks were done from the Ukrainian side, and the loss of a few civilian lives. These actions, external interference, motivated and inspired lots of Russians to want to exercise their voting right, despite the fact that many actually before the election believed that President Putin would win because he was the clear favorite, despite the fact that there were three other presidential candidates. Also, the second reason being that the reasons for which sanctions were placed on the Russian Federation were decisions, policies taken by the president, which were seen as representing national interest, whether it's protecting the preventing the death of lives, Russian lives, especially in the Donbas region, whether it's welcoming the Donbas into the Russian Federation and its residents, whether it's the development that has come into these new regions, as we've seen in Mariupol and other residents of other regions in the Donbas can see this development and say, oh, you know, we want something like that. The reasons for which the sanctions were placed were decisions taken not for personal interest, but for national interest. So when the electorate sees this, they are inspired to want to come out and vote. You know, they could have just stayed silent or stayed in the sideline, just keep quiet or play neutral. But no, they didn't do that. They decided to come out and to vote for their preferred candidate. And from the result, we can see that most people preferred our dear president, President Vladimir Putin. So definitely, it's those are the factors that contributed. And I think it's very indicative of the mood in Russia.
How would you assess the current state of relations between Russia and Nigeria? And what steps do you think can be taken to further strengthen bilateral ties between the two countries?
A lot could be done to improve relationship between Nigeria and Russia. And there's a lot to learn from each other. First of all, is increasing bilateral trade, importing more of what Nigeria produces, and also Nigeria also doing the same. Next is technology transfer, and especially in areas sensitive to energy production and multipliers of the economy, you know, especially energy, whether it's food security, importing, for example, wheat and grain products from Russia to enhance food security, whether it's giving more education opportunities to Nigerian citizens so they can come here and gain the technical know-how and the expertise and knowledge to be able to add value to their economies, with Nigerian economy. And I believe that Russia could also learn a lot from Nigeria in terms of being able to, I mean, we have much more population, close to 200 million, to over 200 million. And we also have cheap labor on which Russia can take advantage of to even keep their Russian products price competitive, or competitive by price, especially in the face of international competition, global competition, you know. Especially in market sectors with very low entry barrier. Improving diplomatic relations so that, you know, leaders from both countries can and talk more and, you know, exchange ideas, you know, and then, you know, from these multiple discussions, ideas will come up and they'll be able to iron out issues that had prevented trade in some certain areas. So I think there's a lot. Also, in terms of joining BRICS, Nigeria could join BRICS. It shouldn't be out of BRICS. It's a large commodity exporter, controls a large commodity market. And it's one of the priorities of BRICS to bring in commodity producers or commodity exporters. And Nigeria also has to have a clear-cut policy, domestic and foreign policy. One of them is the increasing trade in national currencies, multipolar diplomatic relations, bringing in multiple payment systems, not just the East-West, from China, from Russia, for example, the MIR payment system, improving trade, bilateral trade, especially in national currencies. These are some of the areas that Nigeria and Russia could work together. BRICS as an organization has also laid out clear-cut criteria for joining BRICS organization. So Nigeria may want to look into it. And of course, it's also important to get the buy-in of all the members, you know. Diplomats could meet, iron out things, and try to see where they may be falling short. And you know, the more the meeting, the more the ironing out of issues, the greater the chance of Nigeria being part of BRICS. There's a lot to work on in terms of Nigeria-Russia relationship, and I think we've just only, touched the tip of the iceberg.
Security concerns are a major issue in Nigeria. How can Russia contribute to promoting peace and stability in the region?
Well, Russia has been contributing a lot to the security in Africa, whether it's through private military contractors, whether it's through special advisors who advise policymakers on how to, enact laws and policies that promote security in the region, whether it's by weapon sales at affordable competitive prices, whether it's by even offering loans for purchase of some for some weapons or hardware that promotes security, including surveillance, surveillance and reconnaissance. Russia is contributing a lot to African security, and we hope that this continues to improve, and there are more avenues of cooperation. The recently held election that was peaceful and well organized, it's a great example of an area where Nigeria and many African countries can learn from and adopt back in their countries. And the experience Russia has in dealing with insurgency, terrorism, even external influence in or external intervention in interference in the elections and regime change and information warfare, cyber attacks, and cyber security. These are multiple areas that Russia and Africa can collaborate more. But Russia is already doing a lot to contribute to the security architecture in Africa, and we hope that this improves.
Recently, the Nigerian foreign minister was in Moscow for talks with the Russian foreign minister. So what is your overall assessment of this move?
I think it's my overall assessment of this move is super positive. It's always good for ministers to meet. It's always good for diplomats to meet. It's always good for politicians to meet, like I've said, so they can iron out issues, discover and come up with new ways for collaboration, increasing bilateral trade, technology transfer, cultural exchange. All these are all fantastic. There's nothing more I can add. It's just a great move. And I think that the results of their meeting will be become more obvious as time goes on.
As President Putin himself said in a recent interview, which he gave emphasis to France, which he denies Russia's role in trying to push any country out of Africa, but it is done based on the will of the people. Is this same sentiment being shared in Nigeria?
I totally agree, actually. I mean, which country in the world will not want to push a colonialist out? Which country in the world would not want to push a colonialist out? Especially more so when the colonialists left the country underdeveloped. The colonialist controls the currency, gives them pseudo-independence, but controls their currency. They have to keep a certain amount of their currency in an external central bank. The resources are exploited and they get peanuts in return. There's no country with a thinking faculty that would not want to kick that country out. So it has nothing to do with Russia. It's a failure of policy of the French in Africa. They could do much more, but they didn't. They could negotiate better. And even when a country wants to kick you out, you send in diplomats. You try to diplomatically resolve the situation. You try to, you know, make some compromises, promise them things. But this is what you do not do. You do not just stay in the country and say you are not going out. That is an infringement on the sovereignty of the country. So obviously the country would double down and try to kick you out as fast as possible. So this is exactly what happened. It has nothing to do with Russia. It's just that Russia's presented an alternative, which they really like, in the face of oppression and in the face of exploitation. I think if the French citizens, if they want to be honest with themselves, they would admit that, yeah, they didn't do their best. They could do much better in Africa, but they didn't. And the way out of the situation is to try to improve relationship with those countries. It's not the end of the world, because they still have the opportunity to improve relationship, get their diplomats working, find what Africa needs. And also, we will work together with Russia. I think, like, you know, we could work together with Russia in moving Africa forward. You know, so, I mean, all even representing their interests together in Africa. You know, but what you don't do is to oppress a country. And then when you've been kicked out, you now fight Russia in another country, like in Ukraine, and express your vengeance. This is not the constructive path forward. I believe that anybody with a thinking faculty would appreciate that there are better ways forward than this.
As the chairman of Nigerians in Diaspora, Russian chapter, so how do you perceive the role of Nigerians living in Russia in terms of fostering cultural understanding and cooperation between the two countries?
The role of Nigerians living in Russia is quite huge, not just in fostering cultural understanding and cooperation between the two nations. They also contribute to the economy in Russia by working, paying taxes, and also by sending remittances back home to Nigeria. Again, expertise, technical know-how, and go back to Nigeria to develop Nigeria. So, like, basically two ways, either by remittances and helping national development, or by gaining the expertise training required and going back to Nigeria to join the labor force or to invest while being physically on the ground. So Nigerians in Russia are doing a lot, contributing a lot for national development in Nigeria, and also for the growth of the Russian economy. And of course, there are many areas we can improve on in terms of improving the socioeconomic conditions of Nigerians in Russia. And, you know, adapting Nigerians to the way, the modus operandi, the way of life, and the laws, making them conversant with the law. This is what Nigerians in Diaspora Organization is for. It's for the socioeconomic development of Nigerians in Russia through so many avenues, whether it's by educating them through various technical and language courses, whether it's by contributing to them financially, whether it's by getting them settled, whether it's by providing advice for legalization of their stay, for naturalization, for quick pathway to citizenship, whether it's by helping in relationship matters, whether it's defending them legally in court, defending their civil rights in court, because in every society there's always, there can be areas where, you know, there's conflict, and they might need to be there might be a need for legal representation, whether it's by transfer of funds or goods and services between Nigeria and Russia, because, well, like I've mentioned before, Nigerians make remittances to Nigeria, while Nigerians also send finance, like school fees, university fees, tuition fees to Russia. And sometimes money for upkeep and stipend for students who are studying in Russia. So there's a lot of financial transactions and a lot of exchange of goods and services, which we help to facilitate, goods coming from Nigeria and they go to Nigeria from Russia. So whether it's in acquisition of documents, legalization of documents gotten from Nigeria so that they are valid here and that they can be used right away in Russia, whether it's by guidance on documentation and getting them settled in Russia. So the Nigerians in diaspora organization does a lot for the socioeconomic development of Nigerians in Russia so they can contribute better to the Russian economy and to Nigerian economy through various avenues, including but not limited to remittances, foreign direct investment, and contribution to the labor force.
The past decade till now, Russian government has been giving scholarships to students from Africa, especially Nigeria, to study medicine, politics, aviation, law, and so many other diverse programs. In your view, what kind of education do they receive in Russia?
Well, Nigerians in Russia receive lots of opportunities to study. You know, the Russian government even gives out scholarships to students from Africa. It's 100% scholarship. They don't pay for nothing. They pay for absolutely nothing. They come, they get free education, free accommodation, and even get stipends on top. It's such a benevolence and nice gesture from the Russian government to Nigerian students. Also they get very good education, and allows them to be able to contribute better to themselves, their family, and the community, and as Nigeria as a whole. So I think it's a very, very good avenue of cooperation. And it also makes these people good ambassadors of Russia, because after experiencing the Russian economy, Russian culture, economy, they want to tell other people what they experienced. They want to defend Russia. They want to export the Russian idea, Russian ideology, Russian culture, Russian way of thinking, Russian products to the whole world, especially their home country, Nigeria. So it's a win-win situation for everybody and a very fantastic avenue of cooperation.
In light of Russia's foreign policy objectives, especially towards African countries, how does the Russian government view its relations with African nations post-presidential election? And what initiatives are being considered to strengthen these ties?
Russia and Africa value each other as partners. And more so, we could see Africans being represented as observers in the Russian presidential election. And it's very good. Russia is also helping Africa a lot in terms of, security and a lot in trade, both in trade, bilateral trade, technology transfer, and food security. Russia's foreign policy seems to be at improving the trade and the relations, upgrading the relationship with Africa. We saw this with the summit. Russia has hosted numerous summits inviting all African leaders, especially the one held in Sochi. There's more attention being placed on Africa from Russia, and African countries are clearly reciprocating this attention and gesture. I think that initiatives that can be taken could be, like I've mentioned before, Africa joining BRICS, improving bilateral trade volume, conducting more trade in national currencies, having a multipolar diplomatic stance, at least at the barest minimum is a neutral stance in geopolitics, and also payment systems. I, on a personal note, would say I would love to see more Nigerians and Russians in corridors of power in each other's countries. I would like to see more Africans in Russian government. I would also like to see more Russians in Nigerian government. Whether it's as government officials or as lobbyists to lobby for interest on an official level, or observer status on many governmental boards or structures. It creates a feeling of inclusiveness, and it shows that both countries are not just interested in transactional relationship, but in a long-term relationship such that their interests are represented over many generations. So I think that's one area that more can be done as well for each other to be involved in, not just from a diplomatic level, but to actually be involved in the government, representing each other's interest.
With Russia advocating for a multipolar world order, how does the recent election result align with Russia's vision for global diplomacy and its stance on promoting a more balanced international system?
Russia may be advocating for it, but it is already reality. Like, there's nothing to advocate for, because it is already reality. And Russia is just repeating the reality for those who haven't caught up with it. Because just many years ago, it would have been unfathomable that, for example, some people, the hegemonic, hawkish politicians will reach a conclusion on a particular geopolitical issue and any country would object. I mean, this would have been unheard of for many decades after the Second World War. But for the first time, you could have different opinions and people even be staying steadfast on their opinions on some of these global issues. So it's clearly a multipolar war. I mean, a multipolar world. Even non-state actors like, the Houthis, the Hamas, they even tend to have their own strong opinion on many things and do not care what others think. So it's clearly a multipolar world. We also seen increasing settlements in other currencies rather than the traditional ones, like the dollar being still the major international currency. But there's now increased settlements in other national currencies, and other centers of power are beginning to rise, they are having a greater share in the global gross domestic product. So it is already a multipolar world, Russia is, by mentioning it, is not necessarily advocating, but expressing a reality that already exists.
So my final question to you, does your organization offer any programs to assist Nigerians living in Russia? What are your priorities for advocating for the well-being and opportunities of Nigerians living in Russia?
Nigerians in Diaspora Organization Russia, also known as NIDO, obviously does a lot for Nigerians living in Russia, and even Russians living in Russia. I'll start with what we do for Russians living in Russia. We help we teach English language to Russians living in Russia for free of charge. We charge nothing, 0 rubles. We also help in documentation acquisition, legalization for Russians who want to get married to Nigerians. We help in connecting businesses between Nigeria and Russia. We help in cultural exchange between Nigeria and Russia hosting events where Nigerian culture is expressed and Russian culture is expressed. We promote Russian perspective, Russian ideas on global issues, on various media, both media in Nigeria, media around the world, media in Russia. We help to export all perspectives of a story, because it's clear that in outside of Russia, especially in media controlled by the West, Russian perspective of global events isn't heard enough. And we help to say at least what we can see with our eyes over here. We help to tell others, like, this is what we see, this is what we feel, this is what we experience. So we help in increasing bilateral trade between Nigeria and Russia. We help in cultural exchange, relationship, document. There are even Russians who like our food, Nigerian dishes. We help to import Nigerian national dishes for those who have fallen in love with them and who would like to try them more often. Now, concerning what we do for Nigerians, we do a lot for Nigerians, and this is our main goal. Even though we also contribute socially and have corporate social responsibility, but for Nigerians, we help a lot. I've mentioned them already, which includes teaching them the beautiful Russian language. We think it is beautiful, and we think that they should know it. We help in education, especially in technical areas that enable them to be able to contribute to the workforce in Russia, to the labor market. And obviously, they do so at fantastic rates that are affordable and are friendly to businesses in Russia. We help Nigerians through documentation, acquisition, legalization. We help in sourcing for jobs and scholarship offers for Nigerians in Russia. We keep them up to date with information, official information from the government in Russia or from official bodies. We also keep them up to date with information from Nigeria, because they are not in Nigeria and may not always get the latest information from Nigeria. We keep them up to date with news highlights and official announcements. We help in guiding them in receiving consular services from the embassy. We act as a bridge between the embassy, the Nigerian mission in Russia, and the community in Russia. We help in exchange of goods and services between Nigeria and Russia. I mean, in terms of cargo transportation, we facilitate financial transactions that are necessary for Nigerians, for example, students who are studying here, especially in light of the sanctions, don't always find it easy to pay their tuition fees. And we help, we provide guidance on facilitating so they're able to pay for their tuition fees and receive their stipends and able to survive and live well in the Russian Federation. We help in providing medical insurance coverage for our members, so they work without worries. They do not have to pay pay a lot for medical services. They are covered by voluntary medical insurance. And we provide it for our members, and many of them are covered. And these insurance, not only has very high medical coverage, but also covers repatriation, because unfortunately it happens, such is life. Sometimes we lose someone to death, and the family may want this person, the body back home, and we have to organize for the person to be, the body to be repatriated back to Nigeria. You know, and then other social problems, economic problems, relationship problems. We are heavily involved in the lives of Nigerians in Russia, and we hope to even do more and to continue to improve through the various feedback that we get.
Today, we discuss about the just concluded Russian presidential election, a historic event that has captured the world's attention. With us, we had the privilege of hosting Dr. Godwin Ibe, chairman of the Nigerians in Diaspora Russia chapter, who provided us with insights and analysis into this historic election. Dr. Ibe provided insight into President Putin's landslide victory, with over 87% of the votes, as well as the outstanding 77% voter turnout, setting new records in Russian electoral history. In his remarks, he praised the election's peaceful nature, as well as its respect to democratic ideals of transparency and fairness. He highlighted the trust placed in President Putin's leadership due to his stance on the protection of the sovereignty, lives, and properties of the Russian people. He made references to the West's motives of trying to have a regime change in Russia, even to an extent of attempting to interfere with the elections, but thanked the Russian authorities for their professionalism in thwarting those failed efforts. Our guest agreed with President Putin's statement on Russia not pushing any country out of Africa, but this is done on the free will of the people. He described the French policies in Africa as failed and called for increased bilateral relations between African countries and Russia on a mutually beneficial terms. He further commended the Russian government for the scholarships given to students, as it has provided the opportunity to study, learn the Russian culture, language, and acquire valuable skills. Finally, he gave his insights on the activities of Nigerians in diaspora in Russia, which include free English language lessons for Russian citizens, as well as organization of cultural events that showcases both Russian and Nigerian culture, food, and lifestyle. I want to express my sincere gratitude to Dr. Ibe for his enlightening contributions, and to our listeners for joining us on this insightful journey. Before we conclude this episode, I invite you to listen to the quote of the day. This time is a statement by Nelson Mandela, an iconic figure in the fight against apartheid in South Africa. He dedicated his life to championing equality and justice for all. Mandela's legacy continues to resonate globally as a beacon of hope and a symbol of resilience in the face of adversity.
The right of a person to vote freely in democratic elections, to express him or herself without hindrance, to gather and associate as one wishes, to move freely in one's land. These are precious freedoms that lift the human spirit and give expression to our God-given rights.
Stay tuned to the Global South Pole podcast for more thought-provoking discussions on global events from a unique perspective. Thank you, and until next time.